is not just this congregation being out on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, not just having people come to the altar and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the greatest thing. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over that. But another great thing that a pastor and a church should be rejoicing about is when God puts His hand of calling upon a young person and calls them into the ministry. And as a church, we ought to be on our feet rejoicing this morning, because in this day and time, it doesn't happen very often. In my over 40 years of ministry, this hasn't happened very often. But I'm so glad that it's happened here at Community Friends Church, that God is working on the hearts of all of us, and He's been working on the hearts of one of our young men, John Michael McCarr. John came to me not too long ago and said, "I believe the Lord's calling me into the ministry. What am I supposed to do?" I said, "Forget about it." You know, that's what an old preacher told me whenever I felt the call into the ministry. He said, "Go home and do what you always do and forget about it." But I couldn't forget about it. John Michael came back and said, "I can't forget about it either." I said, "Then it has to be of the Lord." And it is. And this morning, John Michael McCarr comes to preach his first message for us, and I believe God has given him one. So come on, John. Be praying for him this morning.
Well, good morning. All right. I was a little confused, you know, when I first was praying about what I wanted to preach on, what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning, and I ended up finding something. Guys back there in the hole in the wall, is this working all right? Is it? Anyway. I recalled something that I have seen and I have heard about for many years, and I think that we've all been affected by, and that we all deal with at some point in our lives. And I want to have you pull up your scripture this morning, pull out your Bible there. If you don't have one, there's one in the back of the pew. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. We're going to talk this morning about living the way the Lord wants us to live. Amen. I don't think we all live the way the Lord wants us to live all the time, now do we? Well, some of us, you know, there are some people, you know, they come into this church at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, or any church for that matter. They come into the church, they live a certain way, they live the right way on Sunday morning. But at 12 o'clock, it's like a bell goes off. Lord's gone. You know, he left them, or actually, he didn't leave them, they left him. They've turned around and said, "I'm not going to live that way no more. Church ain't in. You know, I'm not standing in front of the pastor." I've seen it many times. We'll go down here and grab lunch, you know, after the sermon, and the pastor will walk in, and you'll see people everywhere. They're straightening their ties up, you know, getting the suit on right. Oh, you know, the pastor's here, you know. Well, this morning we want to talk about that, and how we live outside of church and how we ought to live outside of church. So let's go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 this morning. If you would, please stand with me for the reading of the Lord's Word. And we're going to take a little excerpt out of chapter 1 and verse 16. "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." If you would, please bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to open this up with a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to ask for your strength and your understanding. And I pray this morning, dear Lord, that you would hide me behind this cross and let me take up this book in this cross and fight for you this morning, dear Lord. I would pray that you take all of the worldly imaginations out of my mind, dear Lord, and that you would fill it with your will. Dear Lord, take my mind, my heart, and my soul now, dear Lord, and let me just come before these people and be of service to you. I pray that you would let them understand this message. And dear Lord, we just ask for your continued mercy in our lives, and we thank you for bringing us all together here this morning. And we ask all of these things in your holy name. Amen. All right. So, what they are saying here in the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. You know anybody like that? Anybody? Yeah, you don't have to call no names, raise your hand, nothing. You don't have to. Anyway, I don't want to know, really. So they come in, they say that they know the Lord, but they act a different way. They leave this church, they become what they want to be, they push the Lord out of their life, and they don't listen to that soft voice anymore. It's not there anymore. They've tuned it out. It's gone, you know. And now, see, I'm going to make you do a little bit of work this morning. Now let's turn over as well to Proverbs and chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. I'm going to start off in verse 16. I'll give you a chance to turn there. This is Solomon, King Solomon, speaking to his kingdom and as well his son. All right, verse 16. Let's see. I apologize here. There it is. All right, I lost my place. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What does abomination mean? Let's go ahead and stop right there. Abomination, it's disgusting to him. He detests these things. All right. So in verse 16, we've covered verse 16. 17, we start out. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. All right. Let's go with a proud look. What would you think that means? Someone who's arrogant, they stick their nose up in the air, what have you, you know, whatever. A lying tongue. A lying tongue is not necessarily someone who would tell, let's say, a little white lie. First off, there's no such thing as a little white lie. But it's constant. They are false witnesses. It is constant over and over and over again. Every time he opens his mouth, he spews out lies, okay? Now let's go down here. Hands that shed innocent blood. Murderers. You say, well, I've never murdered anybody, you know. I've never murdered, I ain't killed nobody. I've never shed innocent blood. Well, let's go back, and you don't have to turn there, but let's look back at the Ten Commandments when it says, thou shalt not kill. What does he mean by thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not murder. Well, what is the definition of murder? Let's look at that. The definition of murder, according to the good book, is that when one hates another person in their heart, they have committed murder, right? So we have shed innocent blood at that point. We've committed murder. All of us are guilty of it at some point in time. Okay, let's keep going. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations and feet that be swift in running to mischief. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Let's talk about that for a minute. All right. Wicked imaginations, what would you think that would be? You would think, well, you know, I'm going to get this person back. I'm going to get my boss back. He done me wrong. I'm going to follow him out to his car this afternoon, and we're going to have to go around in the parking lot. You would think that, okay? That's a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That's only one of the many wicked imaginations. Let's think about that for a minute. What is a wicked imagination? Let's say you and I, we're neighbors, and you're always coming over and you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm going to get in this guy's business, you know. How many of y'all got neighbors like that? Don't even slip your hands up. I don't want to know. Everybody probably does. So then you're a neighbor. You're saying, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump in this guy's business here, and I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to get in his life a little bit, and I'm going to cause him a little trouble. That would be a wicked imagination. And feet that run to mischief. All right. That goes along with a wicked imagination. Feet that run to mischief, they can't stop it. They don't know how to stop it. It's always one right after the other after the other. They're nosing in people's business. So in discord amongst brethren, which we'll get to that in a minute. They always, you know, they want to change things. They always sit there, well, I'm going to change things for me. It ain't going to be for the Lord. It's going to be for me. Amen. All right. So let's go down here. And now verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. A false witness that speaketh lies. We have already covered that this morning. So he that sows discord among brethren. Let's go into that. What does discord mean? Discord in the ancient Greek and Hebrew text, in the Greek text, it means to cause trouble, to cause strife amongst brethren. Even as a church family, they might cause trouble for the church. Okay? And people wonder, they've asked me many times, and Pastor, I'm sure they've asked you as well. They say, why can't we get people in the church? It's because of you and me. It ain't because of these projection screens. Oh, you already took it down. But anyway, I'm not that bad, am I? But anyway, they're shutting me down already before I even get started. So it's not about the projection screens. It's not about the expensive sound system. It's how we go out and how we live our life outside of this church, amen? That's what's going to get them in here, and that's what's going to turn them away from here too. So you better be lucky I'm not a pastor, okay? Because if I was a pastor, I'd be standing up here. By the time I got done today, there wouldn't be none of y'all left in here. Okay. Because a pastor is supposed to nurture and coddle and counsel. I ain't no good at that. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. So, I believe the Lord's word was written as is, and that's the way it ought to be. Amen. So, let's talk about that. That is the main message I wanted to get across in this sermon. Now let's go over to James and chapter 1, verse 22. I'll give you a second to turn there. We're going to start off in verse 22. I'll tell you, while you're turning there, that was some good singing, praise the Lord. I could sit here and listen to that all day. I wouldn't even have to speak then, you know. I'll tell you, you should have sang a little bit longer. But anyway, James chapter 1, verse 22. But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers, only deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. Y'all got there yet? I still hear some pages flipping. But anyway, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I think everybody does that on Sunday morning sometimes, don't they? They look in a mirror on Sunday morning, they come into this church, and they go, yeah, I'm gonna put this nice suit on. Nice tie, nice shirt, nice pants, nice shoes. I'm going to come in here and look nice, you know, act right. But as soon as we go away from that, it says here, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When we leave this church, folks, that's what's going to get people in here. That's what's going to get people asking you about the Lord, is living right. There ain't no other way. We can't do it with a $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 sound system. We can't do it with a projection system. It's got to be about me and you and how we live our daily lives. Make no mistake, when I'm preaching this morning, I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to me. Okay, we all got to start living right. That's the only thing that's going to change this church and the church as a whole, the people of the Lord. That's the only thing going to change it. So, do we do that on Sunday morning? Do we come in here and we look in that mirror, you know, and we say we're living a good life on Sunday morning? Come 12 o'clock, we go and get something to eat. We're back to living our same old way. We're swearing. We're bearing false witness. We're not living right, you know. So we leave here and we go straight back to that. And it says in verse 22, be doers, not only hearers of the word. So in other words, I can sit here and talk to you all day long till I'm blue in the face. If you don't want to do anything about it, that's on you. It ain't on me, you know. Because I've brought the message to you the way the Lord's brought it on my heart. And you can come down to this altar and you can weep and you can cry all day long. But if you leave here and you don't live the right life, you did it for nothing. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. You did it for nothing. All right. So, how can we live a right life? How can we live the right life that the Lord has brought upon us, that the Lord has said, I want you to live? Through prayer. We can only live it through prayer, and we must put on the whole armor of God, but that's another sermon. But anyway, let's get back to this. You know, Solomon in the book of Proverbs was, as we have said this morning in the Sunday school hour, Solomon was giving, was writing the book of Proverbs as a message. And as teachings to the younger people and to the generations to follow him in his kingdom there. So there are a lot of things that we can do, a lot of verses in Solomon, I just flipped the book over to Songs of Solomon. But anyway, in Proverbs, there it is, in Proverbs that we can use. Okay, many, many things. Solomon, people underestimate Solomon. Solomon was a wise man, a very wise man. He was the one that was chosen by the Lord. He lived a faithful life. But one of the things that we have strayed away from, and I'll tell you this, is prayer in our lives, have we not? We have, right? Right? Anybody? Anybody? Come on, y'all looking like you're dead out there. Wake up, this ain't a funeral. It's a Sunday sermon. Y'all to be rejoicing. Amen. Hand up there, standing up, jumping and shouting. Everybody needs a little Pentecostal in them every now and then. Amen. But anyway, I was telling the pastor this morning, somebody asked me the other day, they said, are the Pentecostals going to heaven? I said, yeah, if they don't run right by it, you know. get your laughs out. Go ahead, because it's about to get serious. Okay, look, prayer. I tell you, God bless our teachers in our school system, in our secular school system, by the way. But you know, there was a story of a young man who had a. I know it's terrible, isn't it? But. This young man, he goes into this school. He's in first grade. He's his puppy has followed him down the street and into this schoolhouse, and he walks in the door. The teacher looks at him and shoos the dog out. Just shoos him out, takes him outside, locks him outside the front door, and when the dog sits down, there sits the Lord. He looks at him. He said, "Don't worry, they won't let me in either." Amen. You know, that's the problem now, and. The school systems and such, they have strayed away from the Lord. So, I know this is getting off on something else, but I want to talk to you now about some of our brightest minds in the world, okay? Some of our brightest minds in the world, this is what they've come up with. Now, we talked about living right. Part of living right is being responsible. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So, being responsible to the Lord, not to us, not to man, not to a boss, being responsible to the Lord. Okay. So, some of the brightest minds we have in the world, the Harvards, the Stanfords, the Yales and all of that. Here's what they come up with. How many of y'all know about the theory of evolution? Anybody? Slip your hand up, slip back down. That's okay. Oh, gee, I'm knocking things over up here. But, so basically, for those of you that don't know anything about it, let's go ahead and go into it a little bit. So they're saying, way on back there, 6 trillion years ago, whatever it has, I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to tell you something. Billion and trillion years ago, you know what that means? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means they don't know. They don't know. They really don't, do they? They don't know. So they're saying 6 billion and trillion years ago and what have you, that all of a sudden there was this amoeba on the earth. They don't know how the earth got there. They don't know how the amoeba got there, but he was there, okay? So this amoeba lives and he swims around in this puddle of water. Don't know how the puddle got there. But anyway, he swims around in this little puddle of water for about 1 million years. Then all of a sudden, he dies. After 1 million years, he dies. And all of a sudden, when he wakes up, he's a minnow. Don't know how that happened. You know, I've never heard of that happening. But anyway, that's what they say now. They say that. He wakes up, he's a minnow. And he swims around real happy in this puddle. He swims around for 1 million years. And then he dies. Well, when he wakes up, he's a frog, okay? They don't know how it happened, do they? They don't know how it happened. But the frog jumps out of the water and on dry land. They don't know how dry land got there. But he jumps out of the water on dry land, starts hopping about for millions of years on his merry way. And then all of a sudden, he runs into a tree. They don't know how the tree got there. But anyway, so he runs into this tree. Knocks him out cold. He's out for about 1 million years, and he wakes up, and he's a monkey. Now, figure that one out. He wakes up, and he's a monkey, and all of a sudden, you know, he climbs up this tree. He's on his merry way, and he's swinging on this branch in this tree for 1 million years. Falls, knocks himself on the head, and when he wakes up, he goes across the street, goes into Belk and buys him a nice suit, goes down to the high school and applies for a job and teaches it to our children. That's right. That's how that works. I don't know how it happened, but that's how it is. Okay? Here's another one. Now this comes from the smartest minds the world has. Okay. This comes from the smartest minds we have. It's the Big Bang Theory. So, there's nothing. Okay? And just all of a sudden, bang! There's something. It violates the first rule of science, does it not? An effect without a cause. They don't know how it happened. Bang, we just all flopped out here. And here we are. Wonder how that happened. But anyway, that is how that this world and these colleges, these high schools, whoever, they're teaching it, that they are getting out that way. They're getting out of being responsible. They don't want to be responsible to a creator. They don't want to believe in a creator because that means they'll have to be responsible. They'll have to live right. Amen. So, God, y'all need to wake up this morning. I tell you what. But anyway, so they don't want to be responsible. They don't know how to be responsible. The only history book I need is right here. That's the only one I need. I don't need no textbook out of no school. That's the only one I need right here. Lord says he did it. And but anyway, we talk about responsibility, and now let's talk about this sowing discord thing. That is one of the many things that many people do in this world. They don't think about it. They just do it. It's human nature. We go around, we poke our nose in other people's business. We cause trouble for them. We cause trouble for their family. We cause trouble for everyone they love. And even sometimes, speaking from experience, they take away what you love by sowing this discord in your life. Okay? And how can we combat that, you say? We can combat it through prayer. The Bible says we need to steer away from these people that cause discord, but exhort them as well. Raise them up in prayer, amen? Because that's what it's going to take. Now, all the hate in the world can't change somebody. But just a little drop of love can change somebody, amen? So, and that's what the Lord did on the cross. I tell you, I can stand here before you today and say all these things, these seven things that the Lord hates, all the Ten Commandments I've broken. Every one of them. Every one of them. You probably have too. But because of one little drop of blood that was shed on the cross, we're free. And you say, how can we be free? How can we be free if we got to live a certain way? Okay. He's telling us in Exodus chapter 20, when he talks about the Ten Commandments, gives the Ten Commandments to Moses, he is saying, here are the ten things you have to abide by. How would you feel if you went to work and they said, okay, you only got ten rules to follow? Would you feel free? Probably, right? Probably. Those of you who are in law enforcement, in military, whoever, you know, if you got a background and all of that, how would you feel if the Army only had ten regulations? That'd be something, wouldn't it? But anyway, so what I'm getting at is how we live our lives outside this church is going to affect this church. And I don't mean just community. I mean every church. I mean the church of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to affect them. So if we go out living our terrible life and living in our sinful ways, what do you think is going to happen? Lord ain't going to answer no prayers. You know, you have seen his wants. You have seen in this book, you have read and understood what he wants you to do, but you turned away anyway. I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, my daddy was around. If I knew what he wanted me to do and I turned away anyway, that spelled trouble, okay? But anyway, so, you know, he has done, as the pastor has said in many of his sermons, he has done so much for us for years and years and years. He's done more for us than he did for the children of Israel when he brought them out of bondage. And the least we can do is take these seven things in Proverbs and these ten things in Exodus and live by them and attempt to live by them. And I just hope that in speaking to you today, I've come before you that this message has gotten through to you a little bit. I've come about to the end of my vocabulary, and which really ain't that hard to do. I went to school in Moore County, no offense, Joe, Linda, and all of you. But anyway, I've come about to the end of it, I just want to go back over all of this. It's one thing to profess that you know the Lord on Sunday morning. But it's another thing to be seen, and the people around you knowing that you profess to know the Lord by your works. Amen. So, let's go out of this place today. This is what I want. I want to go out of this place today. I want to live a better life. But I want you to live a better life if you need to. But that's not between me and you. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. So anyway, I want you to go out of this place. I want you to take this message and go with it and say, hey, you know, maybe I should live a better life. Look inside yourself. Come down to this altar if you need to. We'll all pray with you and pray for you here. So that is right about it for me. And I would like, if you would, just to end the message portion here, I'd like, if you would, please just go ahead and stand with me and we'll have a word of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for all things that you have done for us in our lives, dear Lord, for the trouble that you have brought us all through, for the ways you have touched our lives and changed us and attempted and tried to make us better people, dear Lord. Let these people go away from here today and let me go away with a new understanding of what you want in our lives, Lord. Let us go out and be soldiers for you, Lord. Because we know now that there is no discharge in this army. Dear Lord, we can go out now and we can serve you and continue on in our path. And we have the ability to live a better life, Lord. We have the ability to change. But only with you on the throne of our heart. And only listening to your still soft voice in our ears and in our heart, dear Lord. I ask that you come into the lives of each and every one of these people today. That you bless them and bless the things that they do during the week, dear Lord. I pray for everyone on our prayer list here, and I pray for the needs that are unknown to this church and the needs that are unknown to the pastor, dear Lord. I do pray that you know the need. I know you know the need, that you know the need and that you meet the need, dear Lord. I pray that you would let us go on our way today after these services conclude, and that we would be able to have travel mercies going back to wherever home is for us, or going out to lunch, wherever we're going. Dear Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to come before these people and speak today and to speak your word, dear Lord. And I thank you for hiding me behind the cross and behind your word, dear Lord. Here again, I do thank you again for all of these people and this wonderful sanctuary that we have moved into. I thank you for everything that you have blessed us with in our lives, and even for the trials and tribulations that you put us through in our lives, because they strengthen us and they strengthen our faith, dear Lord. We come before you again to just say thank you and to worship you this morning, dear Lord. I pray all of these things in your holy name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen.